Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Students and other audience members heavily booed white nationalist Richard Spencer on Thursday as he gave a speech at the University of Florida, where the atmosphere was tense but mostly peaceful as police and riot gear kept watch. One speaker who came on stage to introduce Spencer said, "We represent a new white America." Student protesters responded with shouts of "Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter." Later, Spencer supporters, some of whom filled the front rows of the Phillips Center for Performing Arts, chanted back, "You will not replace us."
I'm sorry, where was that being held?
On the campus of University of Florida, the Phillips Center for Performing Arts.
Center for Performing Arts. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I heard that correctly.
I almost feel like just talk, like, it's kind of hard not to talk about this because it's all over the news, so you want to share your two cents, but I almost feel like just giving people like this a platform and talking about them is like giving attention to bad behavior.
This is the interesting part of this story. Spencer has turned his sights to public universities where First Amendment protections of free speech limits official abilities to deny him a platform. Officials at the University of Florida have confirmed that they've spent roughly $500,000 on security for the event, and police from around Florida gathered in Gainesville to assist local police.
Yep.
And how much did Richard Spencer wind up paying of that $500,000 for security? My guess is zero.
I'm certain you're right.
About 700 free tickets were available for the event and were supposed to be distributed outside the venue on a first-come, first-served basis, according to Spencer's website, altright.com. Weapons were banned from the event, along with a wide range of other items, including water bottles, masks, shields, and hats. Spencer tweeted before the event, "Everyone is welcome at #SpencerAtUF. This is going to be an important dialogue for the entire community."
What's in the important dialogue is freedom of speech, and you can't help talk about this stuff from a constitutional point of view and not come across as sounding like someone who supports the message. I do not support the message.
Bitcoin Village is what he's calling the municipality that he lives in. Just announced that there were, what was it, 5 new businesses, bringing to a total of 12 in the city of Portsmouth?
That's correct. And they all except Dash. Speaking of Dash, it's great and fast and super cheap for people to use. Today, I bought a delicious strawberry cake and a fancy coffee. I also call myself Bitcoin Baron now because I bought a really sweet cape with Bitcoin at this cool, spooky ethereal emporium.
Also have a little airplane that you run around in, kind of like Snoopy?
Not the red bear.
Fly around in it.
But Snoopy also didn't really fly around in it. He just pretended to fly around in.
Snoopy had a doghouse. But back to Portsmouth. I mean, that's really cool news. You guys certainly are not resting on your laurels. I suppose you've got a few more. And I think it's, I just wanted to ask, are all the, you said all 12 businesses are accepting Dash too?
Not all 12 businesses are accepting Dash. I do believe 2 of the businesses, our original 2, are only Bitcoin as of now.
Now, I have a question.
That may change in the future.
So, like, I know at least with Bitcoin, like, people don't actually know who invented it. Is that the same with Dash and all these other cryptocurrencies? Or are there people that actually have, like, come out and be like, oh, I'm the one that, you know, created Dash or Ethereum?
Most of the ones other than Bitcoin, they know who the inventor was.
Are well-known people.
Dash has an interesting part of its whole ecosphere, which really can allow funds to go to organizations to promote Dash. And that's not to say that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just that's a way that it's sort of built into the network to promote itself.
Right. They've got a built-in marketing budget.
Yeah, which is very cool. And it's not something that only Dash could do. Any cryptocurrency, if the people that are doing the code and the people that, depending on your coin or your asset, feel that that's a worthwhile endeavor, could support. Do you feel that is really helping all of crypto acceptance? Is it The help with Dash. Yeah, that's my question.
Yes, definitely. Because Dash is a cryptocurrency marketing engine. They have millions of dollars every month that they spend on various marketing initiatives that are planned and voted upon by people who really care about cryptocurrency and really want it to succeed.
Chris, you had mentioned in the last segment a letter. Is this to Jamie Dimon or from Jamie Dimon?
To Jamie Dimon.
To Jamie Dimon from whom?
It's from a gentleman named Adam Ludwin, and he runs a company called Chain. It's a blockchain company.
And again, Jamie Dimon is like the investment guy for JP Morgan.
He is the CEO, the head honcho of JP Morgan Chase.
Ah,
he is the highest guy in the biggest bank in the United States.
Yeah. And he's had some choice words about Bitcoin users recently, including a few days ago saying, "I'm never talking about Bitcoin again," and then immediately talking about Bitcoin
right.
again. So I think that's what prompted this letter, and you're not going to read the full thing.
No, but we'll try to touch on a couple points. Yeah. And what I would like to share with the listeners is we'll put this up on our Facebook page, and we'll put it on wherever else we put stuff.
The Twitter. But the Facebooks and the Twitters.
The title of it is called A Letter to Jamie Dimon and Anyone Else Still Struggling to Understand Cryptocurrencies. So this is my new favorite thing to point people to who go, "I just don't get it. I don't understand cryptocurrencies. I don't understand what blockchain is." This is a really good way to get a grasp on it.
So I should point out, I still don't understand how the magnetic strip on my debit card works.
Right.
I don't understand how the internal combustion engine works, but I still use cars.
Now we got those little chips in the debit cards, too, and I don't understand how those work either.
I think most people might be familiar with what WordPress is.
Right.
I look at Ethereum as the cryptocurrency version of WordPress, to where it's not the thing of value itself, but the plugins that wind up getting applied to it. Those are the things of value.
Or the content.
Right.
In either case, it's sort of that framework. So in both cases, we have this thing that does something, and then on top of it, we have some unit of value that works with that.
The article, again, from the LA Times says, "Police corralled protesters into a single line outside the venue and turned away attendees for a variety of reasons, including a military vet who had a cane because they said that's a potential weapon. One woman said she was denied because the individual she was with was a black man. And some journalists with cameras and notepads were denied access, but allowed to enter once they put those items safely away."
Hey, they put a ban on hats?
That's what it says here, yes.
Yeah, okay, so I'm trying to understand what could possibly be dangerous about a hat unless you're...
It could be a hard hat. You could use it as a weapon.
It might hurt someone. I don't know if the school had a safe space.
Well, yeah, I was more concerned that
the hat... You could hide a weapon under the hat.
The hat, or the old James Bond movie with the guy who would take off his hat and throw it. Yeah.
Ninja stars.
Yeah. But I'm just sitting here going, to deny someone to wear a hat, which is just part of clothing, that sounds more like they're trying to deny anybody with a message on said hat from coming in.
Many in the audience protested by standing during his speech and holding up their fist, a symbol of the Black Power movement. One questioner, who introduced himself as a son of immigrants, told Spencer he was disappointed with the crowd's protest, saying he wanted to engage in dialogue. Another introduced herself as a beautiful brown woman of Egyptian and Puerto Rican descent. She thanked Spencer for coming and asked, "How did it feel to get punched in the face on camera?"
Is that how she introduced herself? Can you repeat that sentence? Yeah.
She introduced herself as, quote, "a beautiful brown woman," end quote, "of Egyptian and Puerto Rican descent."
Okay.
Is that what you thought?
Yeah, I just never really introduced myself as a strikingly handsome Chris Reitman, even though
should. It would be strikingly
You're
handsome.
You're the most
white
handsome
man.
Chris Reitman I know.
So is that how we should all introduce ourselves? So everywhere we go is state our color, our ethnicity. So it'll be like a job application. Like, "Hi, I'm Heather. I'm white.
I'm Chris Caucasian." Right. Yeah, there we go.
If you wish to identify with some ethnicity strong enough to where that's how you identify yourself, go ahead. I'm not going to do that. When I lived in Alabama, interestingly, they don't have voter registration based on political party. They have voter registration based on race.
I know that you guys, at least I know Daryl and Chris seem to be, are heavy users of cryptocurrencies, right?
That's fair to say.
I only snorted like 3 cryptocurrencies today.
Well, I've been on the fence for it a while. I've never really truly dabbled in it. And the reason is I have to admit I'm a bit of a skeptic when it comes to the worth of cryptocurrencies. Yeah. And what benefit. And, you know, everybody always says it's a great alternative. You know, Bitcoin, for example, is a great alternative to the U.S. dollar. Well, how do you get Bitcoins? You can either A, spend U.S. dollars on the Bitcoins, or B, spend U.S. dollars on the equipment to mine said Bitcoins. So what would you say the advantages are for a newbie like me to get into cryptocurrencies?
Well, the most cited advantages are Bitcoin really isn't controlled by anything. And
it has to be controlled by something, though. That's what I have a hard time with.
We'll get to that. But what I mean to say is there is no central bank. There is no central committee. There is no government that controls what Bitcoin is and what it does.
The Fed chairman can't just say, "Ah, you know what? We're doing quantitative easing and adding $4 trillion to the Bitcoin economy,
which then would devalue your Bitcoin." That's what governments practice usually as a way to boost their exports by cheapening their own money. The other example that doesn't obviously belong to you, you live in a populated area, but there are millions and millions, probably billions of people in the world that don't have access to a bank, period.
Right.
Well, I have to step in there. If they don't have access to a bank, what makes you think they're going to have access to internet to use Bitcoin?
Because that's becoming more prevalent than people building bank branches. So we're talking about sub-Saharan Africa and things like that.
There are companies like Google and, you know, as horrible as they are, Facebook, that are doing internet to remote parts of the world. There are developers working on things to where people can use Bitcoin through SMS instead of needing to have a smartphone and download an app.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, we say Bitcoin over and over and over, but Bitcoin's by no means the only one. And,
it's the prevalent one.
It is. I think it's also it's a real stretch to sit there and say, you know, Bitcoin is going to be the absolute best solution for problem X in 5 years.
I think Bitcoin is just the standard amongst most people. It's like comparing, you know, Federal Reserve notes to the currency that Bernard von Nothaus put together.
I actually called in a few months ago, I think, and I was talking about, like, the Holocaust and stuff like that. But then since that day, I've really been thinking about how saying stuff like that makes people think of me. And from that point, I started to think more logically. And all right. I had all these critiques of the non-aggression principle and stuff like that. But then eventually what I came to realize is that the non-aggression principle is logical. And furthermore, it's when someone speaks it, it's a compulsion from that point that we need to follow it. And this has made me basically re-examine all of my worldviews that existed. So and from there, I've actually started coming up with some strategies that I think libertarians would need to use to gain some power in this world and see the dissolution of massive government, Leviathan-style beast government. That's basically what I wanted to talk about, if you wanted to go further in detail with that.
Yeah, what can the Libertarian Party do to get more power?
I don't want more power.
Most libertarians don't want power. Yeah, they want to get rid of power.
I think the non-aggression principle, too many people that preach it, like, it's almost like, how would you protect your own kids? Like, if somebody came and, like, hurt their kid, they'd stand there and watch because they wouldn't want to touch anybody. Like, that's how I feel the majority of people that preach the non-aggression principle come off to me. Like, they make you feel like you're, like, less than a human if you, you know, fight to defend a victim or something that you see on the street. Like, nobody's allowed to touch anybody. Like, no, you know what? I'll do what I'm going to do.
No, you're arguing against pacifism, not non-aggression. Non-aggression is you do not initiate force. You are fully within your rights to defend yourself.
Well, right.
And if somebody says, help me, you can defend that person.
But that's the
thing. But if you just walk up on something and you see somebody punching somebody in the face, you don't know who was the aggressor there. Maybe the guy that's doing the punching was the person that got jumped from behind.
Right. In which
but
case,
then wound
you
up
can
taking...
break it up.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
Well, fellas, if I can interject here for a second.
Please.
I know I've started an interesting conversation here, but I think I've been misunderstood a little, because what I'm talking about is not getting government power to relax government power, essentially. What I'm talking about is things that we can do to promote a libertarian society without that.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Over activist objections, the Los Angeles Board of Police Commissioners approved the police department's pilot drone program. And this comes to us from patch.com, Los Angeles. The civilian panel that oversees the Los Angeles Police Department approved a drone program Tuesday, several months after the department first presented what it called a, quote, limited plan to use the technology.
Limited to how many drones?
Oh, we'll get into the details. Just as long as
limited
it's...
to we're going to fly drones 24 hours a day, 7 days a week over every major intersection.
Limited as in, you know, maybe Johnson saying we're going to have a limited involvement in Vietnam. So just quit worrying.
Also, we're going to draft people to fly their personal drones.
Just quiet, Daryl. It's the police. It's not like they're going to lie to you, all right?
They're allowed to lie to you.
Here's another thing I've been thinking about. The police and government in general, it's almost like being, like, they're honest, right? Like, you know what they're going to do. You know what they're going to enforce. They're just, it's kind of like being a transparent...
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Okay, so maybe honest? They don't... Okay, but you know what the
we
nature
we know that they're
of,
going to enforce the drug
that
war.
They yes, you know that they're going to enforce laws that politicians pass. Like, you
right,
know
but they'll
that.
Call things like the Patriot Act, and they'll call it the U.S. Freedom Act, when these things are the opposite of it.
I filed a lawsuit when there was an illegal raid on where I was living a few years ago, filed a lawsuit seeking an apology from the... code enforcer and the fire chief for waking me up 3 hours after I went to bed because I worked a late second shift. And the judge wound up throwing it out, saying that I had not stated a claim upon which relief might be granted. And
right.
The city wound up citing four different types of immunity for why they didn't need to apologize.
And I want to talk about checks and balances.
Yeah.
So,
and okay.
Go ahead.
So I just feel like I've heard a lot, you know, having been involved in politics now for a few years, I've gone to a movement or I could say echo chamber where there are a lot of people that claim the government is the problem. And what I fail to see, though, yes, you guys, I totally bought into it for a little bit, but I'm one of those people that every so often I self-reflect and I criticize my own set of beliefs. I try to stay as humble as possible, you know, and if I hold an incorrect position, change it. But, you know, why does government come to exist in the first place? So everyone that says, oh, government's the problem and freedom is so much better. If that's the case and freedom and liberty is in everybody's best interest, why doesn't it just happen?
Because most people prefer to not have to make their own decisions.
Heather, I'd love to be in the position where you are and believe that the efficacy of the state has, it seems to me, and forgive me and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to have reached you that you believe that we actually have some process that works for us, that protects our freedoms and liberties. I think that that is a grand illusion. If people knew, I've had my property stolen from me south of the wall down here in Slavachusetts For a supposed fraudulent transfer, Jay Noon had helped me a while back try and do some things, but I couldn't pursue it.
Jay Noon being an occasional co-host on Free Talk Live.
Yes, that's right. And a hero, as well as an awesome, amazing human. So they for a supposed fraudulent transfer, four owners before I owned the property. And if you went to find out what really happened, they actually caused a problem on a separate piece of property out in near where Jay lives, that lived out in Palmer, Mass., where the EPA came in and supposedly cleaned up. They created a bill. There were a bunch of tires there and everything. Anyway, I could go on that. One of the things I often like to talk about is I didn't even know this, but I also was in the military. I spent 8 years in the Navy. And a part of that phony drug war, we were down in Colombia. All that stuff you see on TV about it, none of it's real. I mean, what really happens down there, and this is all your tax dollars. This is what you support when you support the system.
You're paying for
it. It doesn't matter. Like Adair just a few minutes ago, they're going to continue to pay for this stuff forever. They're going to print, they're going to either print money or just add zeros on a computer anymore. And charge it
or just keep going into debt.
Yeah. I mean, it's people talk about the bank of perpetuity or something like that, but it's perpetual debt. I would love to live in the world you live in, Heather.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Like, nobody technically has to pay taxes.
That we have some kind of process, that we have some kind of due process. My land was stolen from me. My entire life was stolen from me.
Hey, I've been a victim of government before, like several times. Okay.
I'm sorry. We all are.
Commissioner Cynthia McClain Hill voted against the program, while Commission President Steve Soboroff, Vice President Matthew Johnson, and Commissioner Sandra Figueroa Villa voted for it. Commissioner Shane Murphy Goldsmith was not present for the vote. The panel's vote prompted an outcry from opponents, some of whom marched outside the LAPD headquarters and into the intersection of First and Main Streets, blocking traffic. Police declared the gathering as unlawful assembly, ordering the groups out of the street.
Now, this term, unlawful assembly, there was a meeting, meet and greet, former chair from like 30 years ago of the Libertarian National Party.
Yep.
Happened to have been visiting Keene, and a bunch of people went out, had lunch with him, and he was talking about a video he saw from several years ago in Manchester, to where Dave Ridley, who called into the show earlier in the day, was being questioned about something by some police, and because, somebody's being questioned by the cops. What's going on here? People stopped on the sidewalk, and then, like, his supervisor showed up. You're only allowed to have three people together. Otherwise, it's an unlawful assembly. Now, you can have an unlimited group of three people. So you can have three people here and then, several feet away, three people, but unlawful assembly.
The commission first heard a presentation on the guidelines in August, and the department held four public meetings to get feedback. And this is typical in most areas. You know, when the government does something unpopular, even if they do something popular, it's generally policy to hold some sort of public forum or some method for you to voice your support or your displeasure with it. And, we've seen that here in New Hampshire. I've seen it everywhere I've lived. And this is not the first time I've heard of support for something being overwhelmingly small and opposition great to a given program. So, not seeing the government do whatever the heck they wanted to in the first place.
In New Hampshire, the city of about 20,000 people that we're broadcasting from, about 6 years ago, I think it was, FEMA decided, we're going to offer a grant for a ballistic engineered armored response counterattack truck for Keene, New Hampshire. And people wound up saying, we don't want this. There was petition signed by hundreds of people. And at the public hearing that they did allow public comment to, the fire marshal wound up saying, this room's at capacity. The only way anybody else enters is when somebody leaves. And so there were people lined up in the hallway waiting on somebody to leave so that they could go in.
As far as the state, state of emergency that Rick Scott proclaimed, as far as I'm concerned, with Rick Scott's background, current and past, he was fomenting violence. That's why he did that.
Wow, I totally think so.
You do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Declaring a state of emergency for a speech. I mean, why?
And the over-equipped police as well that he called out and everybody else.
Well, he has to hype it up so it makes his expansive budget for all those military grade police upgrades. He has to have some reason to put them to use, right?
I'm so glad you're saying this because nobody said it last night.
Oh, that's the first thing I thought when I heard. Well, I saw the post
too.
And I'm like, wait, what? Did a governor really just declare a state of an emergency for this? And I'm like, this
are
is
you
my
in Florida?
Life. No, I'm not. A lot of my family live in Florida. My mom was born in St. Petersburg.
Okay.
And
yeah, but I think you'll find if you continue to listen to the show that each night has its own flavor. It has generally different hosts that have different opinions. I mean, none of us get a script that we follow.
I just wanted to mention that I have been learning that why our killer cells, you know, the Pac-Man that kills a cold virus. They have been known to attack healthy cells so that we can...
Hold on. No.
What? Is she talking about Pac-Man?
Are you talking about white blood cells?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. White blood cells. They kind of look like Pac-Man in some animations.
I've never heard of Pac-Man cells. I know what Pac-Man is. Right. I'm very familiar with the game.
That's what
I prefer Mrs. Pac-Man because it's more fun, but I've never heard of anything inside of my body being called the Pac-Man.
If you were to fluoroscope your body when you have a cold, it just basically looks like one big Pac-Man game. Right, Sarah?
But what I'm saying is that any defective cell, such as a cold or a flu virus or even a cancer virus, these white blood cells, I call them Pac-Man because they eat it.
Right.
They destroy it. So what I'm saying is that so much of our illness is coming from these killer cells attacking healthy cells, and it's called the autoimmune diseases.
I think, Sarah, your point's well taken, and I think it's not far-fetched to believe that because we eat so much more processed foods and we eat fewer fruits and vegetables than generations past, that some diseases may have some cause in our nutritional intake as opposed to other reasons. I don't think that's unreasonable. But before I go drastically changing my diet, like so many people did when they said, well, carbs are bad, so eliminate all carbs, you know, I'd want to study up on it a little bit, too. But.
And then, you know, what was it, 20, 30 years ago? Fat is bad. Cut out all fat.
Right.
This is bad. Cut it out. This is bad. Well, if you cut out everything that everybody has ever said is bad, you're not going to consume anything because, well, there's probably stuff in the water. You can't drink the water. You can't eat table salt because, you know, something, and you can't do this or that.
Red meat's
so
bad for you, yes.
Then you become a breatharian, and, well, Sarah, we know that you think that breatharians are a thing, so continue with your thought.
Yeah, I want to explain the science behind it. I'm not talking about any, like, pasta or rice carbohydrates. I'm not talking about a carbohydrate that we get by the ton, like glucose, for example, or the fructose.
Okay, all right, so where are you getting your info on this science?
Well, you know what? I was introduced to a product.
Let's sort of go back in the story just a hair where the Los Angeles Police Oversight Commission approved the use of drones for the LAPD, saying it's going to be used in limited capacities, including high-risk tactical operations, barricaded armed suspect response, hostage rescue, and situations involving threat of exposure to hazardous material and the need to detect explosive devices, but we're not using it as surveillance.
Right, and we're not going to be using it as a weapons platform.
Right, so the only part of this that I believe is that as of right now, they don't intend to put weapons on this, but there's no way that you can fly a drone over some situation and not surveil what you're looking at.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.